Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد إن شاء الله we're starting from today a series of talks on the life of Abu Bakr Siddiq رضي الله عنه. So inshallah we'll start from the name Abu Bakr Siddiq himself, his name, where the name come from, and then we'll go on about his life prior to Islam, and then we'll talk about his life in Islam and after the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when at the time of his khilafah, until Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu passed away from this world. So when you talk about Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr's complete name was Abdullah ibn Uthman ibn Amr ibn Amr ibn Ka'b ibn Sa'd ibn Taym ibn Murrah ibn Ka'b ibn Nuwai ibn Ghalib al-Qurayshi al-Taymi. Now the last part is of course the tribes mentioned there, but his name really was Abdullah, and his kunya. Kunya is normally a name. Abu Bakr was his kunya, and kunya is in the Arab culture is referred to as a title given to somebody based on his eldest son's name. But so he was so famous with his kunya that almost many times, if you ask somebody what was his real name, many of the people may not even know what the real name of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was. And his kunya, when we talk about, and it goes like this, so if somebody, we hear many times, if somebody has the elder son, for example, Malik, so his father will be called Abu Malik, and the mother may be called Malik. So he was referred as Abu Bakr because of the word Bakr in Arabic actually means, it means actually a young camel. And Abu Bakr was considered to be, and he was famous among the tribe, and he was considered as the father of a great tribe. So when Abu Bakr is referred as the father of the great tribe. So he got this kunya from there. Now, besides his name and the kunya, Abu Bakr had many titles as well. And we find that he is referred as As-Siddiq. This is one of the titles that most of us probably are aware of. But it is important for us to understand why he got this title. And As-Siddiq is the title that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he received from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there are many different narrations about that this title was given to him. One key thing about that is the Ummah unanimously agreed on this idea that As-Siddiq, whenever it is mentioned, it is mentioned about Abu Bakr. So it was the title of Abu Bakr. There is no difference of opinion that this was the title of other than Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. One of the hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was climbing the mountain of Uhud, and he was with Abu Bakr and Uthman and Umar radiallahu anhum. And the Uhud started shaking, the mountain started shaking. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Uthbut Uhud, fa innama alayka nabiyu wa siddiq wa shahidan. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to calm down to Uhud. Because there is a prophet and two martyrs and a siddiq on the mountain at that time. That shows Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was referring to Abu Bakr as a siddiq in even that case. But how he received this title is an interesting story behind it. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was doing the da'wah, and he was taken for Isra al-Mi'raj, at that time, when he came back from the journey of the Isra al-Mi'raj to Al-Quds and to the heavens in the part of the night, and the Quraysh, especially Abu Jahl, he was making fun of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that time when he found out that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking about this journey in the part of the night, while those days the journey would take about a month to get there. So he, when they were making fun of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some of the kuffar, they went to Abu Bakr Siddiq and they said, did you hear what your sahib is saying? That your companion, your friend is saying now. And Abu Bakr did not know about Isra wal Mi'raj at that time. And he asked only one question. He asked, did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said whatever you are going to say now? And they said yes. Then his response was that he believed. And he said, yes, I do indeed believe him about matters that are even more amazing than that. I believe him about news or revelation that comes to him from the heavens in the early morning or the afternoon. And it is because of this incident that was that he was named Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Because he testified to what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reporting at that time. Now, besides Siddiq, there are other titles like as-Sahib. And this title of as-Sahib was given to Abu Bakr by Allah Azza wa Jalla actually. Because when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was making the hijrah from Mecca to Medina, he was accompanied by Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And while they were in the cave of Thawr, over there, when Abu Bakr saw the footsteps of the Quraysh, the people from the Quraysh, and he was saying, Ya Rasulullah, that if they just look at their feet, they will see us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this story like this, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذْ يَقُولُ لِسَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. That he is referring, and the meaning of the ayah is, and he said, Rasulullah, when Abu Bakr was saying this, Rasulullah said to his companion. So here the word sahib, that it is agreed upon that sahib was used for Abu Bakr Siddiq. So from there, the title of Sahib was given to him. And he said that, and he said to his companion, do not grieve. Indeed, Allah is with us. There's another title that was associated with Abu Bakr Siddiq is Al-Atqa. And Al-Atqa means pious and righteous. And this was also mentioned in the Quran. And scholars agree that over there, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَيُجَنَّبُهَا Al-Atqa, that but the righteous one will avoid the hellfire, is referred to Al-Atqa here, is referred to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And the other two titles which are mentioned about Abu Bakr are, one of them is Al-Atiq. Al-Atiq is referred to also by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Anta Atiqullah min al-Nar. That you are the one who's been saved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the hellfire. And from there, he was referred as Atiq. And the historians, they mention many other reasons why this reason was given to Abu Bakr Siddiq. Another title given to Abu Bakr was Al-Awwa. And this was given to him because of his being compassionate and merciful towards the people. Now move on, besides his name, and the title, when we talk about his birth, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was born after the year of elephant, Am al-Fil. And this is something which is agreed upon. The thing which is not agreed upon about his birth is, after how long, after how many years he was born after Am al-Fil or the year of the elephant. Some of the historians say 2 years, some of them say 2.5 years, some say 3 years after Am al-Fil. And he was born after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As we know, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was born in the Am al-Fil. Now I'm just gonna stop this little bit here, so we remember another aspect when we talk about Am al-Fil. Why Am al-Fil was used at that time to calculate the age of a person is because always the calendars are linked with something that was important for a nation. And for the Quraysh, the year of elephants, when Abraha attacked the Kaaba, was a very important incident. And this is what we find all the time. So we should remember today, when we are sitting here in the month of Muharram, that why, and the people are talking to each other and congratulating about Kullu Aam Antum Bikhair, or these kind of things, they're saying to each other, that congratulating about the new year. Why in Islam, when we talk about the new year, it is linked to Hijrah? Again, in Islam, when we talk about it, one of the most important incidents that happened for the Muslims and for the mankind was the Hijrah. This is why the Islamic calendar is linked with the Hijrah. So, now going back to the subject about his birth, so the Quraysh, for them, that Am al-Fil, the year when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected the Kaaba and the Quraysh from the army of Abraha, there was a very important incident for them, and they used to calculate time based on that incident. Now, besides his birth, Abu Bakr Siddiq was born in a house of a noble lineage. And he was blessed with a very respectful upbringing, and from a very young age, he gained the respect of the people. Besides that, when we talk about Abu Bakr, his description, when we talk about it, he was a skinny person. He was white skin and skinny. And to a point that when he used to tie his izar, it used to slip down. And when the hadith of Rasulullah SAW, when he mentioned about raising the izar above the ankle, he went and he asked that this is what happens to him, that his izar falls down. So Rasulullah SAW said, it is not for him. Because the hadith is about when you raise your lower garment above the ankle, is about if you are doing it out of arrogance. And Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, we are very sure that he was not doing it out of arrogance. Now, so since we are talking about Abu Bakr, it's important to understand his family structure and which family he was from. Abu Bakr Siddiq's father's name was, he was famous by the name Abu Quhafa, but his father's name, again, Abu Quhafa was his kunya, the name, as I said, by the eldest son, the father of the name of the eldest son. And then, but his name was Uthman ibn Amr, and his kunya was Abu Quhafa, as I mentioned. And Abu Quhafa, when we talk about him, he did not accept Islam. And he entered into the folds of Islam very late. As a matter of fact, he entered into Islam, when the Makkah was open. So it was 8 years after the Hijrah. So if we stop and think about it, Abu Bakr Siddiq, he was one of those people who entered into folds of Islam way in the very beginning. But his own father did not accept Islam. And for next almost 21 years, his father continued to be a mushrik. And when the Mecca was open, Abu Bakr Siddiq, radiallahu an, he brought his father. It's okay. Let her run around. It's no problem. Abu Bakr Siddiq, he brought his father to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam because he wanted to accept Islam. When he brought his father to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to Abu Bakr, why did you bring him? He was very old at the time. You can imagine that Abu Bakr himself at that time was almost 60 years old. And his father was obviously much older, in his 80s or 90s. And his hair was all gray or white. And he brought his father to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Rasulullah said, why did you bring it to him? He could have gone to him. That shows one of the things that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed, the respect to the elders. That how respectful Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to the elders. And one of the hadith actually says, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يَرْحَمْ صَغِيرَنَا وَيُوَقِّرْ كَبِيرَنَا. That the person is not from a person who does not be merciful on the young ones and give the respect to the elders, he's not from us. And we talked about this here in the previous talks, that whenever the hadith says laysa minna, does not, we should not think of it right away. It means that he's not from us, means he's a kafir or something. No, this is not what it's talking about. This is one of the ways of saying that it's or one of the ways of emphasizing an action. So Rasulullah was emphasizing the action that it is very important to remember to be merciful to the young ones and to give respect to the elders. So something that we should remember, inshallah. Now, about her, about his mother, Abu Bakr's mother's name was Salma bint Sakhr, Ibn Amr, Ibn Ka'b, Ibn Sa'd, Ibn Taym, and her kunya was Umm al-Khayr. And she embraced Islam. Compared to his father, she embraced Islam in the very beginning. And inshallah, we'll talk later a little bit more about Abu Bakr's mother. So we'll move to his wives and children now. Abu Bakr Siddiq, he married he had four wives. And from those four wives, he had six children, three boys and three girls. So first wife he had was Qatila bint Abdul Azza. And there is a difference of opinion about her, whether she entered into the fold of Islam or not. She was the mother of Abdullah radiallahu anhu and Asma bint Abi Bakr. And the reason that there is a difference of opinion, because Abu Bakr, he divorced Qatila before even Islam, during the days of Jahiliyyah. And she did not migrate to Medina either. And while Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr and his children who were Muslim, they migrated to Medina, Qatila, she visited Asma bint Abi Bakr and she brought gifts for her. And when Asma met her, she did not accept the gifts and she did not even allow to enter her house. But after that, she felt bad that she did not allow her mother to enter. The reason she did not allow was because she was not a Muslimah. But she felt bad. And she asked through Aisha radiallahu anha, her younger sister, to find from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam about the action that he undertook, she undertook. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah about this. And the ayah was, لَا يَنْحَكُمُ اللَّهُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ وَلَمْ يُخْرِجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ أَنْ تَبَرُّوهُمْ وَتُقْسِطُوا إِلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. And the meaning of the ayah is, Allah does not forbid you to deal justly and kindly with those who fought not against you on account of religion and did not drive you out of your homes. Verily, Allah loves those who deal with them justly, with straight path, on the straight path. Now, this ayah actually confirms that the people who are not fighting with you, even though they are not Muslims, and that's talking about in general people, and of course from the mother and the father, they have more rights, even if they are not Muslim, you still have to deal with them justly. Okay? Now, the other wife of Abu Bakr was Umm Ruman bint Amr. And she was she was the mother of the other son of Abu Bakr, Abdurrahman, and the daughter Aisha, radiallahu anhu. And she was, before she married to Abu Bakr, she was married to Harith ibn Harith bin Sakhbara, who died in Mecca, and after he died, and she was a widow, Abu Bakr Siddiq married her. And she was from one of the very early Muslims, and she pledged to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she migrated to Medina. The third wife was Asma bint Umais, and she was Asma bint Umais was the wife of Ja'far bin Abi Talib before she married to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And her kunya was Umm Abdullah because she had a son from Ja'far before that. And when Ja'far, so she was from the very early Muslims, and she was from the during the time, she was a Muslima even before the da'wah, or da'wah reached to Arqam bin Arqam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to held study sessions with the Sahaba at the house of Arqam bin Arqam. And she became a Muslim way before that even. And when the atrocities were happening, herself and Ja'far, they migrated to Habasha. And after the Habasha, she migrated with Ja'far, radiallahu anhu, to Medina. So she did two migrations, one from Mecca to Habasha, and from Habasha to Medina. But that migration happened the year of Khaybar. And the next year after Khaybar, her husband, Ja'far bin Abi Talib, radiallahu anhu, he passed away in Mu'tar, and he was martyred. And Abu Bakr Siddiq, he married the wife of Ja'far, and from her, he had another son, Muhammad bin Abi Bakr. And Asma bint Umais, she narrated many ahadith, and the Sahaba who reported ahadith from her were Umar, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, Abdullah bin Abbas, Umm al-Fadl, and many others. And one of the distinctions about Asma bint Umais was she was from the family, or her in-laws were Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hamza bin Abi Talib al-Abbas. So she had a very noble in-laws as well. Fourth and last wife of Abu Bakr was Habiba bint Kharija. And she was from the tribe of the Medina al-Khazraj. And she was from the Ansar. And from her, Abu Bakr had one daughter, which was born after Abu Bakr passed away. Umm Kulthum, radiallahu anha. And now, a little bit, inshallah, we'll talk about the children of Abu Bakr. As I mentioned, he has six children, three boys and three girls. And his eldest was Abdurrahman bin Abi Bakr. And he is the one who did not accept Islam. And there were many cases you find in the seerah that some of the youth, they became Muslim, their parents did not. Abu Bakr had a very distinct kind of situation. So you find that his father did not become Muslim, and also his son did not become Muslim. So it is important to understand, he did not become Muslim, later on he became Muslim. He became Muslim the year of Hudaybiyah, which is again, it's about 19 years after Rasulullah SAW became Prophet, or Abu Bakr entered into folds of Islam. And Abdurrahman is one of those children of Abu Bakr who actually was fighting in the Badr against the Muslims. And there's a famous incident about Abdurrahman that he told Abu Bakr after he entered into folds of Islam that on the day of the Badr, he had the sight to attack Abu Bakr, but he did not. And Abu Bakr said, if he would have seen him, he would have fought against him. So, again, take a step back and think about these things in our lives also. That what kind of lessons that we can receive from the life of Abu Bakr here, when we're talking about the father did not become Muslim for a long period of time, or the son did not become Muslim, or even to a point that they were in a battlefield against each other. But that was only for the sake of Islam. because he wanted to kill Islam. But once Abdurrahman, he entered into fold of Islam, he accomplished a lot of things for the sake of Islam as well. And then he became very renowned for his bravery on the battlefield for Islam as well. The other son he had was Abdullah bin Abi Bakr. Abdullah, and we'll talk about this a little bit more in detail later on, he was famous for his role when Abu Bakr Siddiq was migrating, or Rasulullah was migrating, Abu Bakr was accompanying him from Mecca to Medina. And he played a very crucial role. He used to go and sit among the Quraysh during the daytime and get the news about what they were discussing about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr. And during the nighttime, he used to go to the cave of Thor and he used to bring the news to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr. And he played a very big, very important role. And later on, during the time of the Taif, when the siege was going on, he was hit by an arrow, and he did not pass away right away. But because of the same wound, during the time of the Khilafah of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh, he passed away. So he was a shaheed from the Taif. So among the daughters, the third son, Muhammad bin Abu Bakr, he was a son through Asma bint Umais, and Muhammad was born during the year of the last Hajj that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed. And he was raised by Ali radiallahu anhu, because remember another thing, that after Abu Bakr passed away, Ali radiallahu anhu, he married Asma bint Umais. And Ali had two more sons from Asma bint Umais as well. But Muhammad was raised by Ali, even though he was the son of Abu Bakr. And in the time of Khilafah of Ali radiallahu anhu, he made him the governor or the wali of Egypt, of Misr. And he was killed there while he was in Egypt. Among the daughters, his oldest daughter was Asma bint Abi Bakr. And she was famous again for, one of the things she was famous for was the time of the Hijrah, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was doing the migration. And she's the one who prepared the sufra. Sufra is the food that you make for traveling. And she tied the food for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr with the girdle or the band that you tie around your waist. She ripped that into two, and she tied, she used one of the piece to tie the food with that other one, she tied her garments. And this is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave her the title of Datul Nitaqain, which is the one with the two girdles or the one with two bands. But one of the things about, and I'm going to connect it back to one of the things we talked about, the calendar, this is the same Asma bint Abi Bakr, when she migrated to Medina, she was pregnant with Abdullah bin Zubair. And she gave birth to Abdullah in Medina, bin Zubair. And the historians talk about this incident as that she was, the Abdullah bin Zubair was the first child born in Islam in Medina after the migration. So it's an important thing to understand why it is called in Islam and not just after migration, or just to say that he was the first child from the Muhajirin. No, it was called as first child in Islam, because migration, the Hijrah, and specifically the Hijrah to Medina, even though we know there were two migrations happened to Habasha prior to this one. But always this migration is important, because this migration marks the beginning of a new era for the mankind, which was the beginning of establishment of the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. So that's the most important thing, and to remember, this is why it is referred as in Islam, Because Islam was really in practice after the Hijrah was completed. So Asma bint Abi Bakr, she was married to one of the famous Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Zubair bin Awam. And she lived a very long life. And the reports mentioned that she lived up to almost 100 years. And even at that time, she had a full set of teeth. And she was in complete senses. And she kept the senses of her own instead of wasting time at old age by memorizing the hadith or discussing the hadith that she had with the Sahaba. And she used to narrate the hadith to the Sahaba around her. And she passed away. So I'm gonna just give because of time, inshallah, we cannot. If I start talking about each of these ashab in detail, that will be a talk of its own. So we'll just briefly talk about each of Abu Bakr's kid, inshallah, and move on. But about Asma, so she lived up about 100 years, and she was very famous for her generosity. Also, she used to spend in the path of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. She was famous for her knowledge. And she passed away in the 73rd year of the Hijrah. Now, the second daughter of Abu Bakr was Aisha radiallahu anha. And she was one of the Ummahatul Mumineen. And one of the titles of Aisha was As-Siddiqah. And some of the Mu'arikheen or some of the historians and Muhaddithin also, the reports of the Hadith, they refer to, they mention, as Masruq mentioned, who was one of the Tabi'i, he used to call, whenever he's talking about a hadith from Aisha radiallahu anha, he used to say that As-Siddiqah bin Siddiq, that the truthful one who's the daughter of a truthful one. Because Abu Bakr was famous for being, or he was, one of his titles was As-Siddiq. And so was her title, As-Siddiqah. So she was married to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the age of 6, and the marriage was consummated at the age of 9. This discussion about the marriage of Aisha to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we can discuss it some other time. This is one of the things that is mentioned, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who actually did the aqad nikah of, if you want to call it, of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Aisha. And he is the one who ordered this marriage to be happened. Now, nowadays, I don't want to go into the direction, but nowadays many of the people, today they try to make this as an issue. As a Muslim, we look at it as, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed something, that is allowed. And that should be enough for us to look at these kind of incidents. But besides that, it was a norm in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the funny thing is, nobody in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam raised this as an issue. And we only find this as an issue nowadays. And the people who are making the issues, their own history shows that this was a norm even in their history as well. So, but this is, as I said, it's more of a distraction, because we are discussing Abu Bakr Siddiq here today, and when time permits, or if there is any question and answer, we can discuss that on the side. Now, Aisha radiallahu anha, because she was married at a young age to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she had the opportunity to learn a lot of things from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and memorize. And not only that, compared to, because she was among the women, she reported the most number of ahadith. She reported 2,200 ahadith, I think 2,210. And she was able to report the hadith. Obviously, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who was famous for reporting the hadith, who reported about over 6,000 ahadith, he did not even have access to those kind of ahadith, which is Aisha radiallahu anha. She spent the time with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a wife from the very young age and until Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. She was able to convey the hadith about the personal life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and which is very useful for any family to have the information about the family life, how to live a healthy, happy life between the husband and wife. So Aisha radiallahu anha, she conveyed the hadith which were very useful for the ummah. And among the hadith that she mentioned, which was, I mentioned, 2210, I believe that, so there was about 174 hadith, they were muttafaq alayh. And when we say muttafaq alayh, what means by that is that those 174 out of 2210 were the hadith on which Imam Muslim and Imam Bukhari, both of them agreed upon, they both reported in the Sahihain. Besides those 174 hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, there were about 63 more hadith which were mentioned. I'm sorry, not 69 hadith mentioned by Muslim, and 54 more hadith besides those which were agreed upon by Bukhari, rahimahullah. Aisha radiallahu anha, she passed away at the age of 63 in the 57th year of the Hijrah. The last and the final daughter of Abu Bakr was Umm Kulthum, as I mentioned before. She was born through from Habiba bint Kharija. And she born after Abu Bakr Siddiq passed away. And when Abu Bakr was on the deathbed, she called Abu Aisha, and he mentioned to her about the two of her living brothers and two of her living sisters, two of her sisters. And Aisha, because one of the son, as I mentioned before, Abdullah, he passed away during the Khilafah of Abu Bakr. So the other two, Abdul Rahman and Muhammad, were still there. And so Aisha said that she's aware of Asma, but who's my second sister? So Abu Bakr said that she's in the womb of Habiba. And he said he thinks, he has an intuition, that it will be a girl. And his intuition was correct. After Abu Bakr passed away, Habiba radiallahu anha, she gave birth to Umm Kulthum. And she was married to Talha ibn Ubaidullah, who died on the day of the Jam. Now, when we mention all those things, there's something very interesting about Abu Bakr, which is very unique for him and for his family, and it was not for any other family. His four generations were Muslims in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His father, Abu Qahafa, he entered into folds of Islam. Abu Bakr was a Muslim. And through Asma bint Abi Bakr, and she was married to Zubair bin Awam, they had a boy, Abdullah, in the time, as I mentioned, the first child born after Hijrah. So all those four were Muslims. They were Sahaba, from one of the definitions. And so that was through Asma. And also through Abdurrahman bin Abu Bakr, bin Abi Bakr. He had a son named Muhammad. So the four generations of Abu Bakr were Muslims in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who were Sahaba. So this is something unique about Abu Bakr, but that also shows something interesting about Abu Bakr, that he was very consistent with his family. This is why you find only in the Abu Bakr's family that you have four generations who are Muslim. One, second, he was very consistent about doing the da'wah to his family members. He did not become tired of giving da'wah. As you see, that his father was very old at the time of the Fath Makkah. And he's bringing his father and telling Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Rasulullah was saying, why did you bring him? He was saying, no, he had to come to you. This is why he brought it to him. Now, that shows his consistency of calling his father or his children. Until he passed away, he continued to carry the dawah whatever he could. Now talking about Abu Bakr Siddiq after his family, we have to understand his life prior to Islam as well. It is very important. The reason is, if you don't have a picture of a person prior to he entered Islam, you don't realize that how a person has entered into folds of Islam. And we'll talk about his acceptance also of Islam, inshallah, today. I don't know how much time I have, and I don't know how long my throat can take it. So Abu Bakr, prior to Islam, even when he was not a Muslim, he was a very noble person, very high status among his own people. And there were about 9 or 10 people who are mentioned for each tribe. They were famous for different things, and you can think of the people of high prestige or high position or high status within each tribe. And Abu Bakr was from Banu Taym, and in his clan, he was in charge of matters that was pertain to debts and blood money. Now, if anybody who has debt, or he had to pay the blood money, if somebody takes the charge that he says, he will pay, the Banu Taym would not help. They may help me and may not help. But whenever Abu Bakr Siddiq, if he said he's the one who is taking this responsibility to make sure that debt will be paid or blood money will be paid, the whole tribe would help him. And his status was, he was highly praised among the Quraysh. So there were other Sahaba, which historians have mentioned. I'm not going to go in that direction. I'll leave it about Abu Bakr, what his status was among his tribe. Then, besides that status, he was famous prior to Islam about many qualities and achievements among the Quraysh. He was very famous for which is called al-ilm bil-ansab, which is the knowledge of the genealogy. And even though there were many other people who was famous for this knowledge, some of the other Sahaba as well, but there was a distinction about Abu Bakr Siddiq, that he not only knew about the genealogy of the Quraysh, but also about the other Arab tribes. And whenever he used to talk to the people about their genealogy, about the whole lineage, you have to have the knowledge, whatever good or the bad that specific tribe had. But Abu Bakr used to not mention the bad things of the tribe when he's mentioning the genealogy. And that made him stick out compared to the others. It's not because he did not have the knowledge, he had the knowledge. But he used to not mention it. And this knowledge of Abu Bakr played a great role when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he was carrying the da'wah in Mecca, and at one point when he was reaching out to different tribes of the Arabs, and he used to take Abu Bakr with him to understand the strength of a specific tribe, which can be told by looking at the lineage or the genealogy of the tribe. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned in one of the hadith mentioned in Sahih Muslim, he said, "Inna Abu Bakr alamu Quraysh bi ansabiha," that Abu Bakr is the most knowledgeable among the Quraysh about the science or the knowledge of genealogy or the lineage. So besides genealogy, he was famous for his trade as well. And during the days of the Jahiliyyah, and we will use this term Jahiliyyah. Jahiliyyah is in general referred to the days of pre-Islamic era, before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam became a prophet, and the time before that was considered as the time of Jahiliyyah. And during those times, he used to go to different places, different cities, including Busra and Sham. And he used to go and he started his trade with 40,000 dirham, which is a substantial amount of money. He was one of the rich, but he was not the richest among the Arabs. But when it comes to his reputation, he was famous about his reputation being a trustworthy, the one who can be trusted with the wealth or anything they have. Now, as a result of that, people used to come to Abu Bakr whenever they are doing the trade, and if they had any kind of a doubt doing the trade with somebody else, they would come back to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. But this trade helped him to broaden his horizon. We see that his knowledge was increased about many different things, and that helped him actually to look or to find the truth. Or when Islam was presented, that helped him a lot. His traveling to different places. One more thing about Abu Bakr was, even prior to the Makkah, prior to Islam, that he was very well liked among the people. The Quraysh, they liked him even before he became a Muslim. And you see one of the incidents that happened, even though the incident happened when he was a Muslim and he was leaving Makkah, but Ibn Daghna, one of the person from the Quraysh, from Makkah, and he was the chief of one of the tribes called Qara. And when he saw Abu Bakr was leaving, the words that he was using for Abu Bakr, that shows that how much he was loved by the people of the Makkah, even prior to Islam. Because the things he said was, when he was leaving and he ran into Ibn Daghna, and he said, فَإِنَّ مِثْلَكَ يَا أَبَا بَكَرَ, the people like you, or Abu Bakr, who are leaving, he said, لَا يَخْرُجُ وَلَا يُخْرَجُ. The people like you, they should not leave, and they should not be forced to leave. And then he goes counting the qualities of Abu Bakr. He said, إِنَّكَ تَكْسِبُ الْمَعْدُومِ وَتَسَلُ الرَّحَمِ وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلِّ وَتَقْرِ الْضَيْفِ وَتُعِينُ عَلَى نَوَائِبُ الْحَقِّ فَأَنَا لَكَ جَارٌ. And he goes saying that you are the one who takes care of the connection of the kins and the kith, who takes care of the poor, who takes care of the one who doesn't have to eat, and who takes care of the guest. And then he said that that I will protect you. He said, فَأَنَا لَكَ جَا إِرْجَعْ وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ بِبَلَدِكَ. He goes, go back, return, and worship your Rabb, worship your Lord in your hometown. So the reason that he was talking about all those things were, those qualities of Abu Bakr was known. And Ibn Hajar, Asqalani, one of the, we know, this hadith that I was talking about was from Bukhari. And one of the sharah of Bukhari is Fath al-Bari, which is done by Ibn Hajar. And he mentioned, when he's talking about this hadith, he talks like this, that he's explaining like this, that it is no different, the way the qualities were mentioned of Abu Bakr, but not different than what Khadija radiallahu anha. She was mentioning the qualities when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became a prophet. So he was of a very high status among the people at that time. When it comes to other qualities, even in the Jahiliyyah, and if, after became a Muslim, he never drank. He never drank. And somebody asked him, why didn't you drink? And he said that he forbade that drinking to himself, because once he saw a drunkard, a person who was drunk, and he was so drunk that he picked up dung. And he was about to eat, so he, because of the smell of the dung, he threw it away. So Abu Bakr realized the consequences of a drinking, even he was not a Muslim, he was smart enough, he was intelligent enough to push this away. And he never drank, even in the Jahiliyyah, and even after he became Muslim. And going to another report, Aisha radiallahu anha said that Uthman and Abu Bakr, he and Abu Uthman gave up drinking wine during Jahiliyyah. And when someone asked Abu Bakr whether he drank wine during Jahiliyyah, and he replied, Allah forbid. He was asked why, and he said, I was careful to preserve my honor and maintain my dignity, for the one who drinks, it loses his honor and his dignity. And when this news reached Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Abu Bakr said the truth. He said the truth, and he said it twice. Another important thing about Abu Bakr was, he never prostrated in front of any idol. Even in the Jahiliyyah, he never prostrated. When he hit the puberty, his father took him to a small room, and there were gods there. And he told him, these are your gods. And he left. When he left, Abu Bakr came close to him, and he said, I'm hungry, feed me. No answer. Then he goes, I'm naked, dress me. And nothing happened. Then he took a stone and threw at them. And they still did not reply. So that was enough for him to understand that these idols are not worthy of being worshipped. And he never prostrated any idol. And it is important to understand these qualities Abu Bakr had, because many of us normally think of Abu Bakr came into Islam, Rasulullah presented, and he accepted right away. But we tend to not understand that prior to that, he had certain qualities. And he was a man who was thinking. And he came to the conclusion when Rasulullah presented to him Islam, why he right away accepted Islam. And we'll talk about that inshallah when we talk about that. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned about this because of his qualities. Rasulullah said, فَخِيَارُكُمْ فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ خِيَارُكُمْ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ إِذَا فَقِهُ. So remember that. It's not that the one who's in good and the best doing the jahiliyyah is the best in the Islam. It's only if they accept, if they understand, if they comprehend. And Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he comprehended. And this is why, not only that he was the best during the jahiliyyah, he was the best when he entered into the fold of Islam as well. Then, when we talk about, as I said, now we'll move to the next part of today's talk, which is how he entered into the fold of Islam. So, Abu Bakr's Islam was through a very long journey. He was looking for truth for a very long period of time. And there are reports that talk about that once he was sitting in the courtyard of the Kaaba, and Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufail, who was before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became a prophet, he was looking for the truth. And he rejected the idol worshipping, and he used to call himself that he is following the deen of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And he used to tell the Quraysh that what they are doing is not correct. But he did not know how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he was sitting, and Abu Bakr was there, and Umayyah bin Abi Salt, he passed away. He was passing by. And he said to Zayd, how are you? And O seeker of good. And Zayd said, I am well. Umayyah said, have you found it yet? Because Zayd used to say he was looking for the truth. He asked him, have you found it yet, what you were looking for? He said, no. Then Umayyah said, on the day of resurrection, every religion except the religion of monotheism will be to no avail. Indeed, there will be a wedded prophet either from among us or among you. Now, this is the first time Abu Bakr heard of a prophet will be coming. He did not know anything about it. So because of this, he went to Waraqah bin Nawfal. And he started questioning Waraqah bin Nawfal about this coming prophet. And he said
that I have knowledge of lineage, and your people are the best in terms of lineage. I inquire, so Abu Bakr was saying, I have knowledge of lineage, and your people are the best in terms of lineage. I inquired, oh uncle, what will this prophet say? He replied, he will say what he is told to say. He will not wrong others or be wronged, or be involved in any wrongdoing. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so he was looking for the very same attributes in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, besides that, as I mentioned before, he traveled to Syria, especially the Busra and other cities, and he used to be in touch with Christians over there as well. And one time, he had a dream in Syria. This is one of the reports mentioned. And he went to the monk, which actually Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also met, Bahira. And he mentioned his dream to him. And Bahira asked him that, which tribe was he from? And he said, it's Quraysh. Then he said, what profession is yours? And he said, he was a merchant. And he said, if Allah makes your dream come true. So he did not mention the dream, but he said, if your dream comes true, a prophet will be sent from among your people, and you will be his advisor. And while he is alive, and his successor after he dies. And Abu Bakr kept that to himself. He never mentioned this, but he was aware of upcoming prophet. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was assigned the job of prophethood, he went to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and he offered him Islam. So when he accepted Islam right away, so don't forget all the other information Abu Bakr was carrying as well. Not about only that information of the coming prophet, also about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was a friend of Rasulullah for a very long period of time, and he knew him well. So he right away accepted Islam. Now, you find that the historians arguing about who came into Islam first, and they in general agree upon Khadija radiallahu anha. She was the first woman, not only the first woman, but the first person who entered into the folds of Islam. But besides that, they argue whether Abu Bakr was the first man or not. So because there's a mix-up of whether Abu Bakr or Ali or Zayd, which one of them came into Islam first. But Ibn Kathir, he actually reconciled very nicely, and he mentions that Khadija was the first woman who entered into Islam. Ali was the first child because he entered Islam before he hit the puberty. And Zayd bin Harithah was the first freed slave who entered into the fold of Islam. And Abu Bakr was the first free man who entered into the fold of Islam. Now, after he became a Muslim, he untiredly, without getting tired, he was continuously carrying the da'wah to the people, all the friends around him and the relatives around him. And there are... He was always active until he died in carrying the da'wah. And there are very big sahaba who entered in the fold of Islam through Abu Bakr Siddiq. The first ones, which are referred as, if you want to call them, as the top of the crop, the famous ones who came into Islam because of Abu Bakr, was Zubair ibn Awwam, Uthman ibn Affan, Talha ibn Ubaidullah, Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas, Uthman ibn Ma'dun, Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah, Abdul Rahman bin Auf, Abu Salama ibn Abdul Asad, and Arqam bin Arqam. So all these people, besides his family members, they enter into the fold of Islam through Abu Bakr. And inshallah, next week, we will continue from there on about especially we'll talk about next week about his work in freeing the slaves, and the hardship that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he faced while he was carrying the da'wah. Inshallah, we'll cover the part of the hijrah as well in the next week's session.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com, as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment, and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com, as well as rate, review of iTunes. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com, as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment, and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com, as well as rate, review of iTunes.